Lord, you are the words of life, and you came so that we could have abundant life, and we don't want to miss anything that you have for us or have to do through us in this lifetime and in eternity. It will be awesome, and today, Lord, we do celebrate what is commonly known as the triumphant entry. And so today, Lord, we welcome you to triumphantly enter our hearts with new and wonderful truth. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 9, Paul says, "All the other apostles are greater than I am. And I say this because I persecuted the church of God." I mean, he seriously persecuted the church of God. He wanted to stop it so bad that he was willing to have anybody killed that professed a faith in Jesus. He did his best to get people to deny their faith in him. You know, it's no wonder that Paul had such a grasp on grace. Because with all that he did before he came in to the kingdom of God, my goodness, it'd be a lot to get over. I don't think anybody here ever tried to get somebody to not believe. I've had people call me crazy for believing, but I probably am guilty of calling people crazy for not believing. But Paul said, "I persecuted the church of God. That's why I'm not even good enough to be called an apostle. But because of God's grace, that's what I am. So shoot me." No, in today's vernacular, I'd be, "Hey, I can't help it. It's God's idea. It was God's idea. It was God's idea. God's idea to save me. God's idea to save everybody. I'm thankful to have experienced that grace." He said, "Because of that grace, that's what I am." And then he goes on to say, "And his grace that he gave me was not wasted." And this is in the easy-to-read version, which is a perfect version for me, because it just makes it clear. When I think about Paul saying that, his grace wasn't wasted. When I read that this week, it was like the little box opened up on my computer that says downloading. And it's still got gray spots in it. It hasn't completely greened. It's not totally opened up in my life just yet. I don't have full understanding of it. I asked the Lord, since it was his idea to talk about this, that I would learn, and certainly I do learn as I go along often. But it hit, and it just started downloading. It was one of those pop-ups. It was one of those things on your computer that comes in and starts downloading that you're trying to figure out how to stop if it's a bad one. But this is one that I just wanted to make sure that I had channels open enough so that it wouldn't freeze up and die. Because the idea of wasted grace just washed into me. Because I had never thought about wasted grace before. And you know how it is when you begin to get some understanding of something? There's just a mass of thoughts that come, a mass of realizations of yes, 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 yes. You don't remember what they were, but you remember, man, yes, man, yes, man, yes. Well, I have a large file that I'm sure that will open up as long as I will stay open to it. As long as I let the Word dwell in me richly and continue to work today, tomorrow, the next day, as long as in 10 years from now, I'm thinking, I don't want to waste any more grace. I don't want to waste any more grace. Because the first thing that I knew, that I knew, that I knew, that I knew when that started to download was, I've wasted grace. I've wasted grace. Now, that's a real good thing for God to reveal to me, because I don't like to waste much. That's why I would still have high school clothes, but I have a wife who doesn't think it's a waste to get rid of some of that stuff. That's why I have a lot of stuff that should be wasted and thrown away in my garage. But you never know when you're going to need it. But the idea of wasting grace, well, at the time that that came, I needed to get out the door, but I didn't need to get out the door enough not to write it down in my little journal and say, I just received a download on wasted grace, more to come. Paul said it wasn't wasted. He goes on to say, I worked harder than all the other apostles, but I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was with me. So he says, I'm not worthy to be an apostle, but because of God's grace, that's what I am. And that's why I worked harder than all the other apostles, but yet I wasn't the one doing it. It was God's grace that was with me. Remember on another occasion, Paul said, hey, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. It's in me, it's overflowing, I've got to let it out. You see, that's what God has put into each of us. Inside of us, there is that grace that just has to let the goodness of God out. And we have a lot more opportunity to let the goodness of God out there than we do anywhere. Especially as more and more of the darkness becomes more obvious and people are saying, you know, what's this and what's that and what are we going to do and all of this and that other thing. Well, Paul goes on to talk about God and how all authority has been given to Christ, and then Christ will give all authority to God, and he goes on, and he talks about themselves in verse 30. He says, and what about us? Why do we put ourselves in danger every hour? I face death every day. That is true, brothers and sisters. Just as it is true that I am proud of what you are because Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I'm proud of what you are because of Christ. Did you know that you are more than you know? Do you understand that? That you are more than you know? And that you have more than you know? And that you are able to do more than you know? And Paul says, I'm proud of you. And then he says, if I did that only for human reasons, then I have gained nothing. If what we do in the kingdom of God is just for human reasons, then we've done nothing. But we do it for greater reasons, because for a higher calling. He says, if we're not raised from death, let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we die. Now he's speaking facetiously, because he says, we are raised from death. We know that we're raised from death. And he makes a statement to him. He says, now don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. A reminder to develop those good habits and reject those bad habits. To overcome them. How do we overcome them? Grace. It's an empowering presence of God, enabling us to do what we've been called to do and be what we've been called to be. He said, come back to your right way of thinking and stop sinning. Some of you do not know God. Some of you do not know God. He's writing to the church. Well, we hear that and we say, you know what? That is entirely possible. To believe that he exists but not know him. There's a lot of people that we believe exist. We don't know them. If you watch television, there's a lot of people there that you don't know. But you think they exist. Some people think those cartoon people exist. I've yet to figure out the affection for adult cartoons unless you're drug-aided. I'm sorry, I can imagine years ago, you know, whacked out watching that stuff. But for goodness sakes, people will set their recorders to, I don't even know the name of it anymore, but the Simpsons or whatever they are, you know? Oh, when I hear adults saying, man, we watched that, I'm going, oh, there's a druggie. And you got to be drunk or high. What in the world good is it otherwise? Now, I hope I'm not offending anybody with that. Maybe you like them, but I think there are some people who think they're real. Well, they must be. They talk. Yeah, okay. So that's probably not the brightest bulb on the tree that goes for that. But I mean, you know, I mean, there's some people that get their wisdom from that stuff. Did you hear what he said? That was a good one. I got to remember that one. They take notes so they can remember to tell it. It's about like my brother when I was a little kid. He'd take me around and I was his joke jukebox. Roger, tell him this joke. Man, some of them weren't very good jokes. It occurs to me now that the reason that he wanted me to tell him was because it was probably pretty funny to see a little kid talking like that, maybe. I don't know, but I was a pretty good joke teller, I guess. Okay, so what's that got to do with anything? Absolutely nothing. That's just an interlude. It's a little bit of an anesthetic before we begin to cause pain, okay? It's to make it so that you can still play and not have to say ouch, maybe. I don't know. Okay. But he said some of you don't know God. And you know, we gotta be honest when we're dealing with God. And it's sometimes a tiny bit painful to be honest with ourselves when we realize, you know what? If I'm denying the power of God, if I'm doubting, if I'm fearing, if I'm not trusting, I'm not knowing God. I'm denying Him. I'm Peter this week. I tell you, I don't know Him. I said, I don't know Him. I said, I don't know Him. Isn't that what he said? He said, I tell you, I don't know Him. Well, now, we would never vocally, any of us in here, I do not believe there would be one of us that would say, oh, I don't know God, or deny Him. But if we're honest, and if we could, you know, see the video cam of each and every day, we might be able to pick out spots where, ooh, it didn't look like I knew Him very well there. Oh, I neglected the promise of God there. Well, you see, we do those things without knowing. Paul said once about himself, he said, I didn't know any better. That was beneficial for him to receive the grace of God that he needed to do what he did. I did the stuff. It was terrible stuff. I'm sorry. I did the stuff. I didn't know any better when I did it. So shut up and leave me alone. I'm going on with God. The devil has no place in you. No authority in you. And when you receive the revelation, when you understand that truth, when you are told, when you hear that you need to consider, if I don't trust, do I know Him? Obviously not. Because if we know Him, we'll trust Him, won't we? Okay, obviously the worst thing that can happen to anybody is to waste the grace of the offer of salvation. By grace we are saved. By faith. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. I mean, that's the saddest thing for them. And it's sad for God because God doesn't want anyone to perish. So we can't forget about that. My goodness, the grace of salvation. And all heaven rejoices over one person that is saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Seriously. It's a good thing. But isn't it even sadder? Isn't it even sadder if we receive salvation and waste the grace of the fullness of salvation? Which do you think makes God sadder? A child who betrays him, or one who never joins the family? Oh, betray. We might need another anesthetic. We're going to talk like that. Don't be telling me that I betray the Lord. I'm not telling you. I try to listen to the Holy Spirit. Betray is the word that comes up. Who here would like to betray the Lord? Absolutely on purpose, intentionally. Anybody writing yourself, write notes. I can betray God this way if I get a chance. No. No, but can we be honest enough to look at ourselves and say, I just betrayed God. His grace was present and I wasted it. I wasted it. That puts a whole new tilt on fighting the good fight of faith. See, it's one thing to fight the good fight of faith and to say, I'll submit myself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from me, and I got all that going. And then when I don't get it done, then I just say, well, you know, I'm still fighting, I'm down, but I'll get back up again. But if I gotta think, gee, I just wasted the opportunity to win just like that. The grace was present. The power of grace was present. I had it won. And I dropped it. Right now, the March Madness is going on, and all the basketball players, and these are the best players in the country and in the world, these college guys, and they got things going on, and they lose by 2 points, and I'll guarantee you that it doesn't matter how many points they made, they remember the shot they missed. Oh, if I just would have made that one. Especially if it was a layup. Or they keep showing reruns of guys missing dunks. I never once missed a dunk because I could never get up that high. So I am safe on that one. I missed a layup or two. Those short ones in close, huh, Jeff? You never missed them, probably. Oh, well. See? She's leaving. Wow. Am I going to hear about it when I get home? I offended her bad somewhere. I don't know. Taking an opportunity for anesthetic. Wasting grace. You all are very intelligent people, and you all already have the Spirit of God, and you all are already thinking about, yeah, I've wasted grace. Entertaining doubt is wasting grace. You understand doubt's going to knock on your door. But when you entertain it, when you bring it in, when you nurture it, when you let it turn into worry, fear, and every other thing in the world, what you are just wasting grace, because the moment it knocks on the door, grace is present to knock out the doubt. If we don't knock out the doubt, we waste the grace. We say God's a liar because God said His grace is sufficient. That's why Paul said, get back to your right way of thinking. Some of you don't know God. And if we say, yes, I do know God, then we need to hear the Holy Spirit say, okay, let's prove it. He doesn't say, okay, prove it and condemn us. He says, okay, let's prove it then. Come on, let's prove it. I'm here for you. Let's prove it. Here's the grace. Prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it to yourself. And then it will begin to overwhelm you and prove it to everyone around you as well. God's grace is sufficient. Fear. Fear is a waste of grace. If the Lord says, fear not, then with that the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. You have nothing to fear. So don't entertain fear. You're wasting grace. Selfishness. You said this to me. What's that? That's selfishness. That's a pity party. And entertaining it, where will it take you? Down, down, down. The flames are growing higher. And it burns, burns, burns. Because we're wasting grace. Taking advantage of every opportunity. To defend the hope that is in us. No hope, we've wasted grace. Judy, when you said that you felt like the Lord said, just wrap yourself up in me, wrap yourself up in me, wrap yourself up in me, this morning when I was praying, that was the very, very, very picture that I had of grace. Is grace is like a comforter on a cold winter night. You just wrap yourself up in it. You tuck yourself in, and the temperature begins to rise because you're wrapped up in it. Don't waste the grace. Wrap yourself up in it. Anytime, anywhere, any place, just wrap yourself in it, because the grace of God is God. Just wrap yourself up in it. Now see, God gives us revelation to help us to manifest it. He helps us to understand, oh my goodness, I've been wasting grace. Wasting it. It just sounds a little harsher than missing it, doesn't it? Because wasting it puts the responsibility where it belongs, on us. We wasted it. My wife can't waste my grace for me. She can help me develop it on occasions. I'm not going to look. That's beneficial to me. That way I'll stop, you see. Otherwise, I could go a long ways about that. Hopefully in a good way. Yeah, I never looked. I'm sorry. But isn't that the truth? Nobody else can waste it for us. And if we'll look at it, hey, you're going to help me develop my grace. These things... Maybe this is how James could say we rejoice in various trials. That's an opportunity to exercise our grace, our faith, and add to our faith. See, God's supplied us with all the grace, abundantly more than we know. That's why we can say without any doubt, you are more than you know. You have more than you know. You're able to do more than you know. But what we have to do is quit wasting grace. We need to get, because God has packaged us with the full package, we have all the grace that we need. And abundantly more. There is a supply. Don't worry about being careful about where you use the grace, okay? There'll be more. You know, it's like sometimes you I'll have a few mints that I've taken that I have with me in my pocket so that I can take those mints so that I don't kill somebody with my breath and I have a nice taste in my mouth. And when I got a full bottle, it's no big deal. But when it starts getting low, then I start being careful about, you know, I might need one for now. So I'll just stay away from everybody. And then for later when I need it, then I'll have it, you know. And every now and then, when that's happening, I'll think, I need to remember to get some more. Put them, I got them in the cubbies of my car, and I got them in my pockets, and I got them in old bottles that I don't remember what the name of the stuff is that's in them, but I put them in that, you know, and I got all of that. And sometimes I reach in there, there's no rattle. I forgot to refill. Well, you don't have to worry about running out of grace. It'll always be there for you. You'll always have more than enough. So it's not like you're wasting grace for some little thing like a bad attitude. Use it. There'll be more. Because if you use it at those places where, you know what bad attitudes are, don't you? Yeah. Do you know what those are? The way you're looking at me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For a minute there, that pretty face just went, wow, I never realized. Sweetheart. Yeah. Anyway, you know, you know what those are, right? You know what it's like when something just hits you and you just don't even know why it's stirring? Go ahead and apply grace. Because it's going to turn into words and actions if you don't knock it down. But if you just knock it down just like that. The grace has been applied. There'll be more grace for something bigger. But if you learn to handle the little things so quickly with the grace of God, big things won't bother you at all. But here's the deal. If you waste grace and you keep wasting grace, it'll be as though you have no grace. Because you've wasted it so much that you just don't activate it. I remember Paul said, I'm not even worthy to be an apostle, but because of the grace of God, I am what I am. And because of his grace, I worked harder than anybody. But again, it wasn't me that was working, it was the grace that was working. He let the grace work. He didn't waste it. If we will make ourselves aware, if we will allow the seed of the understanding to come into our hearts and sit there, we'll be reminded, this is God's given me grace. When something comes up, we will recognize, we've got the grace. Oh, here's my ticket. Yeah, I got my ticket. I got my grace. This is a good place to use grace. I have to quit wasting grace. One of the best ways to quit wasting it is to quit mislabeling it. Everybody makes a mistake. When it comes to the grace of God, I can't make any more mistakes. Because I'm not making mistakes. I'm wasting something that God's given me, everything I need for it. Gee, sometimes I just wish I wasn't listening when God was talking. Then I could still say, I didn't know any better. And don't you wish I'd just keep my mouth shut and deal with it with God and not put you on the spot too? No, you don't. You're going, this is just what I needed today. Just what I needed. I quit wasting grace, man. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. For me to be anything else is a waste of grace. For me to be anything less than than a conqueror is a waste of grace. For me to succumb to things big or small is a waste of grace. And if I recognize that I'm wasting grace, then I will get that grace back. And then I will fight better. I will win more. And I'll be what I am because of His grace. No wonder Paul said, just that I might know Him. Because he realized that knowing Him, he would not waste grace. Knowing Him, he would apply that word that he had received and grafted. Remember, you know Him. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You need to say, I know God. I do know God. And I realize that if my actions, if the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, if they reveal more that I know God than that I don't know God, then I'm not wasting grace. But if by my words and by my deeds and by my thoughts, I reveal that I'm not knowing God, what have I done? I have wasted grace. I've not allowed it to have its full place in my life. And so, you do what you want to do, but as for me, I got to quit wasting grace. I tell you how bad, I want to waste grace so bad that I'm willing to say to Rachel and say to Vicky, just let me know if I'm wasting grace. But be kind. Be as kind as you can, okay? Because I really don't want to. There's so much that God has for us and so much that God wants to do for us and so much that He wants to do through us. And we would just be crazy to waste grace. If I'm sick and I don't believe God for healing, I'm wasting grace. If I'm bound and I'm not set free, I'm wasting grace. Because the grace is there to take care of it, isn't it? If we know God, we know that. That's why the devil works overtime to try to get us to forget that. But I will say with Paul to you and to myself, and I'll say, get back to the right thinking. Get back to the right thinking. Let's let God do all that God wants to do in our lives and through our lives. Let's just quit wasting grace. Let's see what grace can accomplish. I'm telling you, every one of you, the things that grace can accomplish in your lives will amaze. It will have you going, wow. It works. This week we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into the city through the Last Supper, through the crucifixion. And we know, praise God, we know it worked. We know it worked. They didn't know it was going to work. Jesus happened to believe God that it would work, but that was the only guarantee he had. That's the only guarantee you have. But here's the deal. In the same way that when Jesus knew that it worked and he trusted the Father, it worked. And that same thing that worked is still working in us. So we know we don't celebrate blindly. We celebrate, yes, yes, yes. We know. We know, and we take this opportunity to be reminded, hallelujah. We'll never stop shouting Hosanna to the King of Kings. They won't get us to go crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Here's how efficient and sufficient the grace of God was. There was enough grace to save Judas. There was enough grace to save the very man that whipped, beat, spit on him, shoved the thorns on his head, and drove the nails in his hands. There was enough there to save them. We know there was enough for the one, the thief on the cross, because Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so I'm pretty certain that the soldier standing at the foot of the cross that said, truly this was the Son of God, there was enough grace. Whew. That's exciting. I mean, that is exciting. And so there's enough grace to take care of me and you and everybody in every part of our lives. So let's not waste it. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for you to download into every heart, every ear, the understanding of wasting grace, what it is and what it costs. And with that, Lord, download that fix, that patch that takes what we understand and turns it into something that manifests in a life walking in all the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray.